I want to spend some time tonight talking to you. You know, we've talked about a number of things, and I want to encourage you to. We've been praying. Yesterday we had a wonderful time in our time of prayer. 15 people showed up for our prayer time yesterday, and I thank God for that. You know, it's wonderful. The anointing was so rich yesterday. You can just sense the presence of Jesus. It was so real and rich. And I mean, there's never one can ascribe to that. Last Wednesday, we were praying, and the Lord spoke to me about that. We were praying about the city of Thunder Bay, and we're praying about the condition of of the situation going on in the Port Arthur Clinic. Just a symptom of what's happened in our city in so many ways. There's a spirit that works in our city that we have to pray against. And have people, we want our city to be blessed. We don't like to have violence and racism and poverty and destruction and death. We're not the man, you know, we don't want to be known as a murder capital. We want to be known as a life capital. Amen. Where people find life. Amen. And so I thank God for that. So we're praying, you know, we're praying diligently. Excuse me, sir. We're praying diligently. And we were praying for some things happening in our city. And the Lord began to move upon us during that time. And I began to get aggressive against the enemy. I began to prophesy. And I pointed right after at our people. I pointed at Pastor Ken, and you can get attested to that. I said, I want you to know that the strike is over. I said, the strike is over. Right now, I want to let you know, all of you right there, I want to let you know because the strike is over, and God's done something. So his daughter, gives out these, delivers the newspapers. So he sends me a picture in the morning about what we've been praying about. He said, the strike is over. Yeah. Amen. How many people know that God knows something? Yeah. Okay? Now, it wasn't about me that I prayed a big prayer. I just know by the Spirit of God different things. Just like sometimes in healing, you know, I would know what your sickness is, but if you walk in front of me and the anointing is on me to heal the sick, I can pin out what's wrong with you. But that's the Spirit of God working. And so I believe that we're going to have some dynamic things happening. There's a fresh anointing has moved upon us, a new anointing. There's a new level, a new step up to the things of God that we're going to start experiencing. We're going to start seeing some new things. Amen? I believe that. Glory to God. Amen? Amen. We could dance right now and just go home and say, hey, I learned something new. Amen. So anyway, so if you're sad tonight, I just pray that you get happy. I pray that something will happen to you. I believe that and all. Okay, let's go to a couple of scriptures. Let's go. We're going to talk about having success, having prosperity and abundance in our lives tonight. How many of you like to have a plenty? You like to have more than enough. You like to have more, a little extra. Amen. So I want to talk about the life of abundance. The scripture we're going to use, our title is Life of Abundance. And it's a sense of knowing that having everything you need provided and more. Say, everything I need and more. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. I'm going to read the King James Version. And we're going to go to different versions of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 and verse 8, excuse me. And if you don't have a Bible, if you look at the screen, thank you for tuning in, those of you that are watching by live stream. The Bible says here, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. That's a big statement. That God is able. God is able. In other words, he can do something here. That God is able to make all grace abound towards you. Everybody say abound.
Abound.
Say abound.
Abound.
You know, there's something about the word abound that we need to learn tonight. That God's grace can abound towards you. Notice this, that you, everybody say you means me.
That
He says that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound. Here's that word again, abound. Say abound.
Abound.
In every good work. So there's an emphasis in the scripture about abounding in that God providing for you everything you need. So much of life is about meeting needs. You know, we have children that have needs. We have people that we want to help. And, you know, we determined that I called this pastor who, he called for help, and I didn't know whether to respond right then, right away. You know, how many people know you don't have to respond right away unless you know, God put something urgent. So I called this pastor today, say, you know, hey, listen, you know, I want to deliver a check to you for $5,000 to help you with your building. And I just feel that God wants us to sow seed. You know, we sow seed here regularly. And I was telling the guys last week, we needed $200,000 about 2-3 months ago just to finish off that existing wing over here for our children in the children's services. And I know the kind of people that attend this church understand the economic situation and how much people can give. And you can't, if God speaks to you, you can't always go by what you know in terms of what you can do. Because God's grace is bigger than you. And as I was telling the people yesterday, the Lord spoke to me yesterday morning, and I woke up maybe 6 o'clock in the morning, and he spoke to me several times that morning, and he said, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said this, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of His Holy Spirit is with you. And already then I didn't know what that all meant, but it's meaning more to me than ever before. God's grace is bigger than your problem. God's grace is bigger than the rape that you had experienced. It's bigger than the abuse you've had in your life. It's bigger than the marriage separation and divorce you've experienced. It's bigger than the lack of money that you are experiencing. And, you know, it's funny that when God calls you to do anything for Him, it's always much bigger than you. I always felt when God called me that I was not good enough to be a pastor. Because, after all, if you knew my background, you wouldn't pick me either. I wouldn't pick me. But if it wasn't for God's supernatural intervention and God's call on my life, and if I didn't have the encounters that God gave me, I would have never ever been entered the ministry. And by the way, I was doing pretty good without God, so to speak. Okay, so you know what I mean? You think, I'm doing real good. I don't really need to. I need God, but not that much. And so I was entering into my professional years. I have entered my professional years in my educational pursuit, and I was entering my PhD program about 30-some years ago, and I wanted to be a full-time professor, write books, and do my own studies, and do things, you know, that I felt that I could contribute to my culture, my society. And that's when God called me and brought me into the pastorship. And how many people know when God calls you, it's awesome. Yeah. You almost don't even know if you can respond. Yeah. And so the Lord began to call me towards the ministry. Even then, I never felt qualified. I didn't have the kind of accolades that I believe that I should have, or that people would respond to when they, when they looked at me. And I counted all the reasons why I shouldn't have been called. And I had people, it reminded me also why I shouldn't be in the ministry. And also in my own life, I began to look at what I don't know. And I told the people yesterday as we were praying, I said, the Lord spoke to me in 1991, and He said to me, son, I want you to teach people how to pray. My first response is, I don't know how to pray either. I think, you know, God's talking to different ones in this church or in the body of Christ, wherever you're from. He's talking to you, and he's asking you to do something for Him. And you're standing there, and He said, I don't have what it takes to do what you're called me to do. I remember the day God called me to be on the television And I don't know of any personal person that I know that was on television as a pastor. I looked around my own community as a First Nations man, and I looked to people there. I did know different ones in our city. I knew one man. And then the Lord began to tell me to go into enter the television ministry, and I was so afraid because I saw what happened in 1980 with some of the television televangelists. I didn't want to be known as one of the televangelists. Because after all, you know, they steal money. I didn't want to be gathered together with these kinds of people. So I understand, you know, we're all going through different trials and growth. So we never feel that we can do what God called us to do. When God called Moses, and he didn't respond the way, you know, normally we would think somebody would be graciously responding to something. He said, you know, I can't do it. I can't even speak. When God called the prophet Isaiah, he said, I'm not holy enough. I'm not righteous enough. When God called Gideon, he said, I'm from a very poor class, socioeconomic background. My family is poor. I have no one to help me. You know, most of us need to understand that God's grace is sufficient. Amen. God called a man by the name of Paul or Saul. His name was Saul first, and later he changed his name to Paul. The man was a murderer. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God put him in ministry, and he was able to, God began to visit him in visions and took him to heaven, showed him some things. But God is able to make us abound today. And God wants something from you. God wants you to respond. And he wants you to move ahead with him. And sometimes you think, you know, you're looking at your life, you think, this is all there is. Sometimes, you know, people who have success in their life as a business person or as an athlete, you know, they say, is this all there is? There's more to life than serving your own purposes. You know, Mother Teresa spent all her life giving herself to people, and she has a lot of critics. No matter what happens, serve people anyway. Amen? So now I'll go into my introduction. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10. Understand in 2 Corinthians 9, God talks about abounding. That his grace abounds to you. In John 10:10, Jesus is talking. And he's talking about a thief. How many understand there's a thief at large? The thief is at large in the community. And if you're living below the standard that you have in your heart, he's been successful robbing from you. Whether it's your self-image, whether it's your economic situation, whether it's your physical health, mental health, emotional well-being. Things are missing. Things are lacking. There's a thief going around. You might have some money in your pocket, but on the inside, on one side of you, you think you're poor. No matter how pretty you dress up and how much makeup you got, you still feel ugly. Because there's a devil going around stealing people's image. And he's masking himself. Sometimes as you, your own self. Now, let's go ahead and read the scripture. John 10:10. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life. Everybody say life.
Life.
That they might have it more abundantly. Not abundantly, but more abundantly. You know, when you have abundance, that's a lot. But he says more than abundance. Yes. And the Lord reminded me something here tonight as I began to study. You know, I was studying so hard that my wife had to come to me at about 10 to 7. He said, do you know what time it is? I said, I don't know. He says, I have to go to church. And sometimes Pastor Ken phones me, reminds me. But he doesn't do that anymore. Because I get mad at him because he calls me. You try to help me out. Ever get like that? You get mad at somebody? Why are you calling me? Anyway. More abundantly. Jesus said, the reason why Jesus came, he said, I'll come to give you more abundant life. You know that little word, I'll come to give you life. He said, I'm come that you might have life. Yes. That word life in the original Greek language is the word zoe, Z-O-E. Zoe. That word zoe means the life just like God has it. The life the way God has it. The life in quality and in quantity. God wants your life to abound. He wants all of us to abound. And there has been a thief going around lying to people that they should never expect anything from God, that it would be arrogant for you to ask God for something. It was God who said some things that we practice. And we have to see from the scripture. Only the scriptures can provide us enlightenment. I want us to see what Jesus said over here in Luke 6:38. Luke 6:38. I'm trying to build a foundation for us so that we might understand and be exalted with Jesus in this understanding that God blesses. He wants to bless us. John chapter 10, verse 10, you know, it said there's a thief. But over in Luke 6:38, Jesus said, give, and it shall be given unto you. Everybody say, give.
Give.
Notice it says that whatever you give will be given back to you. Notice it says there, and it, that is, whatever you gave will be given back to you. But not in the same measure. He's talking about abounding. He's talking about the Zoe kind, quality and quantity of life. That when you participate in his program, he's going to make sure when you stand in faith, believe in God for what he said in his word and stand on his word, it's going to abound to you. But not many people participate this way because they believe a lie. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Notice this, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's abundance. That's lots. That's a lot. It says that shall men give unto your bosom. In other words, when you give to other people, somehow God will get something back to you. Maybe in raise or something. I was so happy last Thursday, you know, or a week and a half ago. You know, I thank God for rebates. How many of you like rebates? Pastor Ken picked up the mail and he said, hey, here, look at this. I looked it open up. He said, oh, there's $12,000 in here. I said, chicken money. It's wonderful to get a check back. We've been doing a lot of work here and to give us rebates back. But I thank God that Pastor Steve had no problem spending that again on the church. But anyway, we see here, notice that with the same measure that you meet or measure, it shall be measured unto you again. So thank God that God said he's going to provide a multiplication when we participate, when he asks you to give something. I'm going to ask you something. Don't you have to don't raise your hand, okay, because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed. Like, how much have you been giving to your friends? Not just to church, or if you give into church, how much do you actually look at your income statement last year? You know, I'm talking about in terms of the percentage-wise. You know, Jesus, God looks at percentages, not how much you got. If you own a lot, and you have a lot, and you make $100,000 a year, say for example, and you give that $10,000, you know, but if you make $20,000 and you gave half of that, that's the percentage-wise, who gave more? Jesus looked at a lady who gave two mites, And he looked at all the businessmen. He took notice of all the businessmen that come into church. He said to his disciples, notice all those guys that came in there, all these business people, and they gave all the money. But this poor lady come in, she gave all that she had. And he took notice of that. It's really not how much you give. It's how much you give from your willing heart, or how much you're giving in terms of what you have. There's no competition. Everybody has to give what they have. You know, we think about giving. Oh yeah, I give. I give. You know, once a year. I hand out tracts or something. Somebody's calling me here. So, God wants us all to have our needs met. I believe that. You believe that? He has provided for us a way, a method in which we can participate in God's own generosity. He says that we can expect to have all of our needs met all the time, for every occasion, and also to have enough to give to someone else who's in need. You know, I remember when I was in Bible school, Brother Keith Moore asked us, you know, he says, you know, in his way, he says, how many of you students got all your needs met? How many of you, bless God, how many of you paid your tuition this month? How many of you paid your rent? How many of you just, you've been able to do all that? Everybody says, yeah. We had 2,000 students screaming, yelling. They're all happy. They got their needs met. But he said, how many of you was able to give? How many of you was able? Just a few people, not that much. The students you're talking about, you know. I remember one time in relation to students, you know, when I was in Lakehead University in 1980, I think it was 85, I think 86 or somewhere around there. I was going to church and going up this down the street and going to church. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you know, I want you to give this lady over here $100. How many people know that when you're a student in 1985, $100 is a lot of money? I said, what? You know. And so, I'm telling you something. You know, I'm going to tell you, this is something really true. You can look at this and be advised by the scripture. God will test you in the area of your money, how much you want to follow him. He'll test you in the areas, because that's a huge area of your life. You spend all your time earning money. And how much you give of him. Your blood, sweat, and tears. How much you give back to God. God will talk to you about that. And so, for myself, it was a challenge. You ever been challenged by the Lord? Yeah. And so I was able to give. It was some little bit trepidation. I was able to give, you know. And you know what? I didn't have any money after that week, but I felt lifted up. But I also was able to learn how to trust God. I remember we were at a conference in the early 90s over in Winnipeg, Manitoba. It was a national conference of Canadian Fellowship of Churches, which we were a part of. And Dr. Murdoch was talking about offerings. And, how many people understand when you're in a certain kind of service, there's a certain anointing that comes there. Yeah. When there's a certain anointing comes there, it's easy to do certain things than if you were alone somewhere else. There's a corporate anointing here right now. There's a certain amount of anointing here that allows us to sit here and think about things of God and participate in the things of God. When the anointing lifts, it's a different thing. So while I was there, he said, I need so many people. I need about 100 people to give $1,000. We've got this project going. And, you know, after he talked about 20 minutes or so, then he was talking at the end. He said, we need about 100 people or something to give $1,000, something like that. So I got excited. I got too excited. And I lift up my hand. How many will give? I lift up my hand up right like this. Why did I do that? I got too encouraged to give. I'm not in a position to give $1,000 right there. So anyway, I gave $1,000. You know how you feel after when all the music starts, stop, everybody gone home, lights are out, you're sitting in your car in a parking lot? You said, they took me. They took me, Pastor. And the devil says, they sure did. And I began to learn about, I thank God I had those experiences because I learned to think about how God would provide. You know, we don't receive any kind of enumeration from any other sources. I don't apply for funding from the federal government or the provincial government or the city, any subsidies like that. Everything that we do is provided by the people themselves here who believes in what we do, or believes in Roma, believes in that God's in my life, or God's here doing this for Faith City Church and Spirit of Life Television. And I thank God for that, because there's you know, people, God puts people together. And I remember when he said that we're going to get this building. We were in the other building over here. And I understand, you know, as a pastor, you understand, you know your flock, you know the economics, you know the challenges that people have. And you're challenged to build something. And I was thinking, you know, every time Mark Davey would come, he'd always bug me, you need to move. I said, Mark, just send me a check over here, $100,000, we'll get started. And so one weekend I told Pastor Steve, I said, Pastor Steve, we've been talking about it a little bit. The Lord's been tugging on my heart. He said, okay, sell the building. Lo and behold, he sold the building in like 3 days. By next week, we had the building sold. And I'm sleeping there and said, you know, hey, we just sold the building. Where are we going to go? We have 90 days to get out of this building and find something. And I started imagining. I imagined ourselves in a hotel somewhere. I said, you know, we can, you know, of course, you know, you assume things because you have to alleviate your own stress. So I started thinking about that. And I'm walking down the street over here one night, and I walked, you know, walk about a half an hour around the area. And I'm walking by the street. The Lord said to me, that building over there, we talked about it. I said, you know, Lord, I wanted that building before that other church had that building. The Lord said, you can still have that building. I said, okay, I'll receive it. So I went to, the next day I went to a prayer meeting, and I talked to Pastor Kevin. Kevin says, you know, hey, I'm selling my building. I said, I'll buy it. he said, let's go ahead and buy it. Let's keep the realtors out of place. Let's keep the money to ourselves. We're cheap, see. So anyway, he said, well, I said, we need $600,000. Well, I just sold the building for almost $300,000, and I needed more than that, and we had to fix, you know, when you come in, you need to fix it for our advantages. You know, before that, we were in this project, so we were sitting down for months. We had different ones looking at plans. You know, we had architects, we had builders, we had business people, different ones examining. We had people who knew electrical and different things like that. So we sat down. They said to me, Pastor Roma, I want you to conceptualize something that you need. What kind of building you want? I said, well, what about a building of $150,000? He said, okay, let's get started. So within several weeks, you know, we conceptualized what we needed was a building of $3 million. So I woke up one morning, 4 a.m. in the morning, and said, Lord, where am I going to get $3 million? But why am I saying this? Why am I talking about this? Because I'm talking about, you know, sometimes you go through an exercise when God's telling you to do something. You're looking at your own, you know, efficiency or insufficiency. And you're measuring that upon what you're supposed to do. And so, you know, when he said, when Kevin told me we needed, I can sell you for $600,000. I said, you didn't buy this building for $600,000. You should give it to me for free. You know, in your mind, you think that, right? Just give me a Christian deal here. Everybody's looking for a deal, right? But anyway, we said, you know, we end up getting that money, $600,000. But I thank God, you know, for His grace and mercy. And whatever He's called you to do, He'll make provision for it. So I, like I said, that's why we take money sometimes. We'll take money. Sometimes if we're lacking, we said, okay, we're lacking over here. Let's take that money. Let's give it over here. And we've been doing that. Like I said, this year we had that, you know, just a springtime. We needed that money. The Lord was able to provide us a certain amount of money so that we can get the project done. And we got it done, praise God. Over a $200,000 project, we got it done in a few months. So thank God for that. And the people was able to respond. God provides a way. So, like I said, you know, the reason I'm saying this is because I want to encourage you, no matter what project you're in, no matter where you are right now. Like sometimes, you know, we get into trouble because we've made the trouble ourselves. And so we sometimes give the devil more credit because of our stupidity. No one's saying amen there, because that must be true. So, you know, and also the fact that there is a devil, that he will try and do whatever he can to dissuade you and to stop you from going on with the things of God. As long as he can keep you poor, you're not going to fulfill the will of God for your life. If God's going to keep you poor, you will never fulfill your destiny. You're going to need to believe God for whatever he's called you to do. You can't run a family without money. You need money to run a family, to run your cars. Did you remember that? We're not deficient. God's grace is able to get us through everything. We talk the word abound in those scriptures. God is, he's, you know, that scripture, God is able to make us abound. And he's able to do that. He wants to prosper us. He wants us to make success, to be successful. He is all the all sufficient one. When he appeared to Abraham, he says, I'm the Almighty God. I'm the all sufficient one. That's what he told Abraham. He's the same. He's the same God that we have. And he's efficient, sufficient enough for our lives. 2 Corinthians 9, 8 and 1 talks about in there. And that verse 9 says this, for you know, 2 Corinthians 9, or chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The other morning, like I said, the Lord spoke to me. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is with you. And I didn't understand right away that very moment that what he's talking to me about. He says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, everybody say rich.
Rich.
How many of you know that God is rich?
Yes.
He's rich. What does the word rich mean? You know, we talk about rich. If you look in the dictionary, I know maybe you might look for that. It means having all your needs met. It's having more than enough. Though he was rich, yet for your sake, for my sake, and your sake, he became poor. That you and I, through his poverty, might become rich, might be rich. God wants us to have our needs met. And the devil has been successful in people's lives through religion to teach us and to keep us in a sense that, you know, we should be poor. You know, poverty is holiness. And, you know, listen, you know, read scripture. God's awesome. He's an awesome God. There's no, you know, we're talking about paving over here. I said, Pastor Steve, check about paving in the front here. We're going to get this paved over here. Who's going to pay for it? You guys are paying for it. We're all paying for it, eh? So we have to pave this over here. I said, it doesn't look that good. We're going to have to get this paved up over here. And God has his place paved with gold, it says in the scripture. Okay, all right. So it means, this scripture means that, you know, God, you know, he's 2 Corinthians 9, 8 says that God is able, having always, that we can always have all sufficiency in everything, in every good deed. That means that you and I are supposed to have all sufficiency in all things for every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Now, how does that compare with where you are right now? How does this compare when we're lacking and we can't get across town because we don't have enough money to go over there? So the devil has been somewhat successful in the fact that we haven't really sometimes come up to the level where we actually can provide our needs, let alone having extra. You know, I realize, you know, sometimes when you hear a teaching like this, it's challenging. It's challenging because, you know, because you have to participate in your own recovery. We like to blame everybody else for our insufficiency or why we are like how we are. I know for me as a First Nation, I always blame the government. Blame, Confederation. Blame everything on everybody else because why I'm lacking. We need to look at our lives and begin to examine different things, you know. Sure, sociology and different things can explain different things, but it doesn't have to stop right there. There's more to it than just that, and natural evidence. The enemy will work through different ways. Psalm 23, please. Psalm 23. I got about 6 minutes here, so we have to do this in tongues. Have to go real fast. Anybody? Psalm 23, verse 1. Can we get that up there? Let's say this together.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
One more time.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
There's two guys, they're not saying it over there. And one over here. Let's do it again, real hard.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Okay, so who is the Lord?
Jesus.
Jesus is the Lord, and he is what?
Shepherd.
So the Lord is our shepherd. What does he say about the Lord, the shepherd, and the sheep? What does it say? Those that are sheep will not want. Give me the Amplified Bible, Miss Cindy. The Amplified Bible. I want you to show you something here. This takes the key word. What it does, it takes the key word from the original language and gives us the more meaningful language. They said the Amplified Bible is the woman's Bible because it has more words in it. That's what they say. Okay. Okay, I like it too. It's very good. Men sometimes don't say anything. When we do marriage counseling, we ask, so what's happening? The woman always says, hey, I'm going to tell you what's happening. I said, how about you? Then after they get married, then they start talking. So guys, if you come to marriage, you're going to talk. Okay. The Lord is my shepherd to feed, to guide, to shield me. I shall not want. The Bible says, you know, the word want describes lack. So you could get up every morning and say, thank you, Lord, that you're my shepherd. I will not lack for anything today. I will not lack for wisdom. I will not lack for protection. I won't lack for energy. I'm not going to lack for health, encouragement. I want to thank you, Lord. Wherever I go, I'm going to be an encouragement, and people are going to encourage me.
Amen.
I determined to do that. I determined to be an encourager. I want to. How about you?
Amen.
How many of you really want to stir up crap everywhere? Is that a bad word? Is that a bad word, crap? Okay, so it's not a bad word. To me, it's not a bad word. Word means things to people. Okay, so it's a bad word, but it's okay. Okay. It's not swearing. So the Lord wants every one of your needs met. Now think about this morning. Some of you. So let's think about this, okay. What if you heard about a shepherd, you know, he's one of the most fantastic shepherds in the whole world. And you talk about this shepherd, you know, he's beautiful, he's handsome, he's got a beautiful staff, you know, with a bunch of gold on it, and he's got rings on, nice robe, and he walks cool and everything else, you know, and he looks good. And you hear about this shepherd, wow, He's a wonderful shepherd. Everybody's making big about the shepherd. And he's coming through your area. And he's got all the sheep with him. They're coming, and you know they're coming. They talk about the shepherd. And then you look at, oh, here he comes. And he's coming there. He's got nice shoes on. His robe is nice and everything else. Nice, you know, he's got this nice staff. He looks royal, and he's like dominant, and like he's just wonderful. Oh, wow, he's coming. Then you look over there, there's the sheep. They're all coming. And they're all dirty, all tangled and everything else. You know, one eye sticking out, there's, you know, ears all pulled apart. They're smelly and emaciated. Some of them have no limbs, and some missing. You say, hey, that's not a good shepherd. What kind of shepherd is that? You know? Sheep are like, ah. You wouldn't think nothing of a shepherd like that. You talk about the shepherd, man. He's wonderful, but look at his sheep. He's not that much of a good shepherd. I mean, this is the way, you know, the shepherd is measured by what the sheep looks like. The condition of the sheep and what's going on, you know. If they're nice little happy shepherd, little sheep, you know, just skipping away, they're chubby and they're, you know, nice and fluffy, happy, you know, you would say, man, that's a wonderful shepherd. You can't get near those things because he's watching you. But if the sheep are in bad condition, you would say, that's not a good shepherd. They're scared of everybody. You try to look at the shepherd, come here, the sheep, and they run away. They're afraid of you. Scary little cats. But, you know, I want to tell you something. In the church, we have people in the church that are suffering. They're still suffering about things that happened to them way back. They haven't gotten over it yet. They're still suffering from different areas, different things that happened to them when they're kids. They haven't been healed yet. They're still going over the same things, rehashing the same things. When God says, let's forget about the past. I want to heal you. I'm the healer. I'm the good shepherd. Amen. And so we tell people, come to my church. Your little rickety car. Duct taped and your seat is all duct tape and everything else and wire. You know, we always say res car. You say, come to my church. Hallelujah. The guy said, I want to go to your church. No, God wants us to be presentable. He wants to meet every need in every area. He wants us to abound. Let me just give you a definition of the word abound, because I think we need to understand, because about the shepherd, you know, the word that God says, he makes all the grace abound towards you. God, he wants to give us the Zoe. Jesus said, I come to give you Zoe, the God kind of life. So in the Psalm chapter 23 describes Jesus as the good shepherd. And the condition of the sheep largely reflects how and what kind of shepherd we have. So we need to understand there's a thief out there robbing and lying to all kinds of people that they should live in their sickness, that they should live in their poverty, they should accept their lot in life, and that they can't come up to another level. I believe in this church that we need to come up to another level. I believe not just the church, all the church in the city come up to another level. Not to get pushed around. I mean, we should be dominant and have a voice in this city. Just like anybody else. Amen. Okay, it's God's will that we abound to a level. God wants us to meet needs of other people. He said that you, 2 Corinthians said over there, that you having all sufficiency may abound to every good work. In other words, when somebody is lacking, we should be able to give something to them. That we shouldn't say, somebody, I need, can you drive me across town? He said, you know what, yeah. You know, I wish I could. I don't have enough gas money. He said, well, yeah, sure, I could drive you uptown. In fact, here, take my car. Amen. You know, the Lord had to deal with me about coming to ministry. I'm glad the Lord dealt with me. I remember the Lord spoke to me about giving away my Firebird. He said to me, do you love me? Of course I love God. I just finished paying my last payment on my car. I'm driving down the road with my nice car, hair flowing. I had more hair back then. Driving down, you know, coming from the University of Manitoba one night, the Lord talked to me about that. He said, I want you to give your car. Do you love me enough to give your car away? And he told me about quitting hockey. Quitting hockey? Start doing what I call you to do. So I was able to give my car away. And I had to understand, I had to walk. People think instantly, oh, I'm going to have two cars now. I'm going to have about 10 cars. I walked about it to buy another car. But God has to check you out to know whether or not you're going to follow him. So when God called me to Tulsa with no money, zero, no money in the bank, we went. The Lord said to me, I want you to come and follow me. I remember, you know, do you know the scripture in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8? Let's look at that scripture for a second. You got two more minutes? I'm going to take it anyway for now. Okay, so just a couple more minutes. Okay, I promise this is going to be good for you. Because sometimes when God asks you for something, you don't always know. You know, you feel insufficient, whatever he called you to do. And we feel that way all the time. We're being challenged constantly with our lives, our time, our money, our skills. God wants you to bring your skill and use it for his kingdom. Not just at work, and you're getting paid for it, but God says, I want you to bring your skill to church and use it for my glory. A lot of you are being challenged tonight. How many of you are getting challenged tonight? You feel like God is challenging you tonight. Push a little bit more. Say, well, you know, I meet that criteria. But he's going to talk to you again. It's, you know, he'll push you. I remember a guy said he was praying. He said, Lord, I'm a student at Rhema. He said, I'm believing God for shoes. And he was believing God. Him and his wife were praying together. And then someone sent him a $50 check. He said, thank God for my shoes. And he said, I went to the Bible college. We went to pray. We had prayer time. Man, did I ever pray good. I prayed so good that morning. And while I was praying, the Lord said to me, listen, that boy over there, that preacher, he's believing for shoes. Oh, Lord, yeah. I'll encourage him. I'll tell him how you gave me shoes. Oh, Lord, you want me to pray for him? You want me to encourage him? I'll give him my testimony. No, the Lord said, no, I want you to give him that money. What? Then he said, I thought, for sure, that's got to be the devil. He's trying to steal my money from me because God gave me that 50. Now he's trying to steal that away so that I won't have shoes. See, God was telling this man, listen, if you learn to follow my spirit, I'll not only give you these shoes, but I'll give you any kind of shoe you want. I'm going to multiply that. And he did. He said, Lord, I'll give him that. He gave him those shoes, and he did without shoes for a while. And this guy today, man, he can buy any kind of shoes he wants. Amen. I know him personally. Watch this. Oh, it's not there. Hebrews 11. You got to be in time. Okay? Everybody say, by faith.
See,
by faith, he says, Abraham, when he was called to go to a place which he should go, into a place where he should, after receive an inheritance, obeyed. He went not knowing whether he went. A lot of times, you know, God calls you to do stuff to places and projects that you don't know nothing about it. Amen. And, you know, he had in mind, how many people know that it says later on this man had every need met? Amen. And God wants to take us to a place where we trust him. I was talking to a young man, this couple of Finnish boys that I had lunch with last week, you know, one of them was completely delivered from what's that drug called? Not Oxycontin. It's a real strong one. No. What did they give you in the hospital? Morphine. He was like that for 20 years. The Lord appeared to him and gave and delivered him, completely delivered him, and healed him. Not only this, delivered him all that, but healed his body from the car accident he had. Nothing, no deficiency, anything in his body about that. We had a girl here not too long ago, many years, a few years now. She went to university. She was on some amount of pills, and she came in the church one evening, and the Lord completely delivered her. You know, you have to be at a place where you trust God. Now, don't just do things stupid. Make sure you're in faith. It says this person here went out not knowing. You might not know everything. Everybody stand up. God is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is with you. The grace of our Lord. Now, I know I left this at the end because I know some of you might be giving, challenged to give tonight. So the bucket goes by. If there's an offering in you, you want to give an offering tonight, participate in this. We're going to pray a prayer after. Go ahead, guys, I made my check by faith. My wife's writing it. Look at her run over there now. Amen. Hallelujah. I know, you know, we're giving tonight, like regularly, but I just felt I should do this after. Thank you, Lord. Everybody should be giving. Everybody. God doesn't want you to not give. It's God's way is to give. You should have something. If you don't have any money, turn to your neighbor, ask him for the wallet for a second. It's really thick, too, tonight. Bunch of paper in there. I told my cousin, I said, how come your wallet is so thick? He's got a bunch of like catalog paper in there. Things that he's believing for. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. Father, we want to thank you tonight for this time. We thank you for this opportunity to sit together and hear the word of God. Thank you that tonight that we are encouraged by your word. And we've encouraged one another as we stand here today, knowing that you're real, that you're bounding us in many, many ways. You're challenging us, our thinking, our ways. You don't want us to stay the same. Everybody likes the same. I know I like the same, Lord, but I know that you change us from glory to glory, and you want us to move up to a new level. I believe that you said in your word, and you told us that this last few weeks, that you want us to go to a new level, a brand new level. There's a new way. Forget about the past and move on ahead. Whatever has gone on in the past is gone, and you want change in our lives. So I want to thank you for every healing in this room right now. I pray for every single person in here that needs healing in their body. I pray for healing in their body, healing in their mind, in their emotions. I pray in the name of Jesus, I bind the enemy and I command him to get his hands off you in every way possible. Get your hands off their families, their children, their job areas, their finances, their mind. Get your hands off their grandchildren. Get your hands off every area of their lives in the name of Jesus. Father, I want to thank you for the fire of God, for those that will have the consuming fire of God to come upon them, and that they'll be eager and hungry for the things of God. There'll be a new level. We thank you, Father, for this in the name of Jesus. With every eye closed, every head bowed, if you're here tonight and you want to come to Jesus or have Jesus Christ be the Lord of your lives, to give your heart to him tonight, this is the time, an opportunity for you to say, I want to give my heart to God. I want to come to Jesus. If you've been away from God, if you've been serving yourself, and you need to come back to God, and you have a tug in your heart and a question in your mind that maybe this is my time, miss my opportunity. If that's you right now, I want to ask you to lift your hand up way up high so I can pray with you right now. 1, 2, 3, 4. Anybody else? Anybody else to say, thank God, I want to come to God. I want to turn to God. This is my hour. This is my opportunity. If there's anyone here like that. So let us pray this prayer together. Say, thank you, Lord. I give you my heart. I surrender to you in every way possible, spirit, soul, and body. Thank you for leading me and directing my life. I will not doubt your calling. You will always meet my need. You are the all-sufficient one. I thank you by faith. Things will get better starting right now. Amen. All right, guys, I want you to find somebody, shake your hand, find two or three people before you go. Make yourself friendly. Glory to God. Amen.